Hi, I'm NG Jones and you're listening to the podcast Sounds About Right, audiobooks to help us understand the world, the book club that's all about learning new things and challenging our perspectives. Hi guys, and welcome to the 13th edition of the podcast. Now, the audiobook I'm going to discuss this week is called Dopamine Nation, Finding Balance in the Age of Indulgence. And it's written by Anna Lemke, who is an American psychiatrist, and at the time of this podcast is chief of the Stanford Addiction Medicine Dual Diagnosis Clinic at Stanford University. So Dopamine Nation is a New York Times bestseller, and after reading a synopsis, I was interested in listening to this audiobook. It essentially says that our world is addicted to fleeting, distracting pleasures that gets us nowhere, and all around us people are looking at their phones too much, eating too much, drinking too much. And the aim of this book is for the author to provide us with a clear way back to a balanced life. And this book offers practical solutions on how to manage compulsive overconsumption in a world where consumption has become the all-encompassing motive of our lives. In essence, the secret to finding balance is combining the science of desire and the wisdom of recovery. The audiobook is focused on firstly unpacking the neuroscience of reward, and in doing so, helps us to find the better and healthier balance between pleasure and pain, and how understanding that relationship has become essential to a life well lived. And this is mainly because the world's been transformed from one of scarcity to a place of overwhelming abundance. This includes things such as drugs, food, news, gambling, shopping, gaming, texting, sexting, Facebooking, Instagramming, YouTubing, and tweeting. The increase in numbers, variety, and potency in highly rewarding stimuli today is staggering. The smartphone is the modern day hypodermic needle, delivering dopamine 24 hours a day for a wide generation. And this book warns us that if we haven't yet found our drug of choice, it's coming soon. I've learned from this book that scientists rely on dopamine as a universal currency in measuring the addictive potential of any experience. The more dopamine in the brain's reward pathway, the more addictive the experience. In addition to the discovery of dopamine, another remarkable neuroscientific finding in the past century is that the brain processes pleasure and pain in the same place. Furthermore, pleasure and pain work like opposite sides of a balance, and a moment of wanting or craving, you know, that part where we want to eat more junk food despite not being hungry, or wanting a good video game to last forever, is the brain's pleasure balance tipped to the side of pain. And the book is actually based on the author's patients' true stories who fell prey to an addiction and how they got out of it. These patients, given pseudonyms of course, are pretty diverse as they're all at different stages of their lives, which highlights just how susceptible anybody can be to addiction. But there's also actually one particular patient I kind of end up having a bit of an affinity towards whilst listening to this audiobook, partly because I think he's one of the few that's mentioned in more than one chapter of the book, but also because of how obscure his addiction is and the great lengths he goes to try and abstain. Despite this though, he struggled for years with it, hence why he's featured heavily in the book. And the definition of addiction is mentioned in the book, and it's broadly defined as the continued and compulsive consumption of a substance or behavior such as gambling, gaming, or sex, despite its harm to self and others. And I really appreciate how the early chapter of the book looks at what enables addiction and makes a case that it has been proven that this can be attributed to genetics, trauma, social upheaval, and poverty, but also just how much access has a big role to play. It almost comes across as common sense, but it's easy access to drugs that can increase the risk of getting addicted, as when it's easy to get a drug, we are more likely to try it, and if we try it, we are more likely to get addicted. And this statement is backed by the current opioid epidemic as an example, as the quadrupling of subscription of opioids, including Oxycontin, Vicodin, fentanyl, in the US between 1999 and 2012, combined with widespread distribution of opioids to every corner of America, led to the rise in rates of opioid addiction and related deaths. And it was concluded in 2019 that the expansion of the supply of powerful, high-potency, long-acting prescription opioids led to a scaled increase in prescription of opioid dependence and a transition of many to illicit opioids, including fentanyl, which have subsequently driven exponential increases in overdoses. I listened to the Wall Street Journal podcast recently about the death of people who have taken drugs which have been laced with fentanyl, causing them to accidentally overdose, and it's heartbreaking. At one point, people were talking about the opioid epidemic in the US as if it was something in the past. But drugs overdose in the US reached an all-time high in 2021, which was a 15% increase from the previous year, according to a report from the CDC's National Center of Health Statistics, with fentanyl being involved in the most overdose deaths. In contrast, the book also mentions that decrease in the supply of addictive substances tips the balance the other way and decreases exposure and risks of addiction. What proves this is what happened during the Prohibition era in the US, which was a nationwide constitutional ban on the production, importation, transportation, and sale of alcoholic beverages from 1920 to 1933, which led to a very sharp decrease in the number of Americans consuming and becoming addicted to alcohol. Rates of public drunkenness and alcohol-related liver disease decreased by half. And this was in the absence of any new remedies to treat addiction. The positive impact of the prohibition on alcohol consumption and related illnesses is widely under-recognized. However, once alcohol became available and legal again, consumption steadily increased. And the book essentially says that when you consider this, it's fair to come to the conclusion that increased access to addictive substances may be the most important risk factor facing modern people. Supply creating demand, as we all fall prey to the vortex of compulsive overuse. Our dopamine economy is driving this change, aided by the transformational technology that has increased not just access, but drug numbers, variety, and potency. And there's reference to how from electronic cigarettes, which has different flavors as a way to market to teenagers, leads to high levels of blood nicotine over short periods of consumption rather than traditional cigarettes, or even how food is manipulated. And increased fried and processed foods with high amounts of sugar, salts and fats being added to much of the food we consume, as well as thousands of artificial flavors to satisfy a modern appetite. And this coincides with another point the book makes, about how 70% of the world's global deaths are attributed to modifiable behavioral risk factors such as smoking, physical inactivity, and diet. And the leading global risks of mortality are high blood pressure, tobacco use, high blood sugar level, physical inactivity, and obesity. And how in 2013, an estimated 2.1 billion adults were classed as overweight. And that's compared with 357 million in 1980. There are more adults in the world that are obese than underweight if we exclude parts of Asia and sub-Saharan Africa. Our attributes towards pain. I thought it was interesting when she mentioned how our attitude towards pain is very different to how it was prior to the 1900s, where during these times, doctors believed a degree of pain was healthy, leading surgeons during the 1800s were reluctant to use general anesthetic during surgery because they believed pain boosted the immune and cardiovascular response and accelerated healing. Although the author mentions in the book she doesn't know of any evidence that pain actually boosts tissue repair, there is evidence that taking opioids during surgery slows it down. Whereas now doctors are expected to eliminate all pain altogether. Any form of pain is considered dangerous because it leaves a neurological wound in the brain that never heals. So the paradigm shift we all have around pain has transcribed to a huge subscribing of feel-good pills. Today, more than 1 in 4 American adults and more than 1 in 20 American children take a psychiatric drug on a daily basis. The use of antidepressants is rising in countries all over the world, with the United States topping the list. Beyond this, and our inability to now tolerate pain, we have also lost the ability to endure even minor forms of discomfort. We are constantly seeking to distract ourselves from the current moment to be entertained. She even mentions what Aldous Huxley said in A Brave New World Revisited. The development of a vast communications industry concerned in the main neither with the truth nor with the false, but with the unreal. The more or less totally irrelevant failed to take into account man's almost infinite appetite for distractions. It's not until about the halfway point of the book where dopamine is brought into the fold and the question is asked, why and how does too much pleasure lead to pain? But the question isn't answered yet before describing how dopamine was first identified as a neural transmitter in the human brain in the 1970s. It's not the only neurotransmitter involved in reward processing, but most neuroscientists agree that it's one of the most important. Dopamine may play a bigger role in the motivation to get a reward than the pleasure of the reward itself, wanting more than liking. I think the best example that is used to describe this is how it's mentioned that genetically engineered mice, unable to make dopamine, won't seek out food and will starve to death even when food is placed just inches from their mouth. Yet if food is put directly into their mouth, they will chew it and seem to enjoy it. Therefore, dopamine is used to measure the addictive potential of any behavior or drug. The more dopamine a drug releases in the brain's reward pathway, and the faster it releases dopamine, the more addictive the drug. This isn't to say that high dopamine substances contain dopamine, but that they trigger the release of dopamine in our brain reward pathway. And she goes on to say how much dopamine is released when a rat consumes chocolate, has an orgasm, or consumes a Class A drug. In addition to the discovery of dopamine, neuroscientists have said that pleasure and pain are processed in overlapping brain regions and work for an opponent processing mechanism. So pleasure and pain work like a balance. It doesn't want to be tipped for very long to one side or another. Hence why whenever we experience too much pleasure, we have self-re-regulating mechanisms that work to bring us back to center and level. Any prolonged departure from neutrality has a cost. This cost is an after-reaction which is opposite in value to the stimulus, which explains what I said earlier about the part of us craving is tipped to the side of pain. But interestingly, this happens in other parts of our bodies. There's mention of how when we look at green for a long period with a white background and look away, we see red. So in the final part of the book, she talks about ways of preventing the overindulgent addictive tendencies and the lessons that having the balance can teach us. These being, one, the relentless pursuit of pleasure and avoidance of pain leads to pain. Two, recovery begins with abstinence. Three, abstinence resets the brain's reward pathway and with it our capacity to take joy and simpler pleasures. Four, self-binding creates literal and metacognitive space between desire and consumption, a modern necessity in our dopamine overload world. Five, medications can restore homeostasis, but consider what we lose by medicating away our pain. Six, pressing on the pain side resets our balance to the side of pleasure. 7. Beware of getting addicted to pain. 8. Radical honesty promotes awareness, enhances intimacy, and fosters a plenty mindset. 9. Pro-social shame affirms that we belong to the human tribe. 10. Instead of running away from the world, we can find escape by immersing ourselves in it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. As you can tell, this is done a bit differently to the other ones in the past. I thought I'd try something else. I hope you enjoyed it. I genuinely do these podcasts because I like to do them, but also because I hope it provides some sort of value to yourself, me just breaking down and discussing parts of the audiobook I found interesting. Get in touch with me and let me know if it did, because That's the only way I'll know if it does. But also, if you enjoyed listening to it and you think that you have a friend that might be interested in the content, please share it amongst them or any family or anyone else that's quite close to you. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and I hopefully will catch you on the next episode.